Thank you so much for a very nice introduction, and thanks to each of you to come to this presentation. I know many of you might have got stuck to walk here, and I know many of us have to rush to the airport immediately after the presentation. The topic of my presentation is somewhat related to education and MDGs, the Millennium Development Goals. And if you closely look at Millennium Development Goals, we can see that they are very highly correlated, or you can find very good relationship between one goal and another. There is a relationship between education and healthcare and, you know, environment and nutrition. When I was finishing my PhD thesis, one of the significant variables that came out was that, you know, we have to improve education. We have to improve women's education. One of the hypotheses for this research is, and this is a work in progress, so there might be some questions you guys might have, and I might not be able to give you a concrete answer right now because we are still developing models, we are still running some analysis and seeing what's happening in each of these countries. But our main hypothesis is we are trying to see how much does the role or how much effect does female education has on improving child mortality. And the second part of the research we are going to do is what role does female health literacy has on the overall child mortality compared to female literacy. Many a times when we try to measure female literacy, it's whether the ability of the women to read and write, or, you know, read a newspaper or able to write your name. But many of the women have missed the train or missed the opportunity to get educated because they got married early, or they were in rural areas, or the educational programs did not reach them. So do we discount these women? Do we not give them an opportunity to have some health knowledge that can protect their children from vitamin A and, you know, immunization, nutrition question, childhood diseases? This is the hypothesis of our research. And I have no financial, you know, relationships or other things to disclose. This is a very brief outline of what I'll be covering, you know, what is sustainable development in MDGs, linking education with other MDGs, what are the data and methods that we have used, what are the preliminary results. That's why I said that it's preliminary because the research is in progress and we are trying out different models. And what future research and what implication does it have? A very, very quick description about what MDGs are. One of the things I'm relatively a new faculty, and I'm presuming many of you in the audience are much more experienced than I am. But one of the things that I have always appreciated about MDGs is that no country can say that, oh, I or we did not progress because so-and-so did this or so-and-so happened this. The good thing about MDGs is that each country is compared, you know, based on its own progress for over the time period. So whatever your progress was or whatever your rate was in 1990, how much have you progressed till the deadline comes in 2015, which is not very far off. And some of the major areas, another good thing about MDGs is that it touches on some of the main developmental concepts like poverty, education, gender inequality, and environment. The education goal of MDGs is to achieve universal primary education, and they usually target boys and girls to, you know, complete a full course of primary education. And the indicators are net enrollment ratio, proportion of pupils, students getting grade 1, and literacy rate of 15 to 20 years old women and men. This is a table I've prepared, and you can pay close attention to the text in the red, that how MDGs are interlinked and how education plays a role for many of the other MDGs as well. Say, for example, the first goal is eradicating poverty and hunger. Education plays a role because it increases your chances of getting a better job and have a better income. Promoting gender inequality, if the women are more educated, they'll be more part of the labor market, and that will, you know, decrease the lack of equal representation, and so on. We can go on how, you know, educated mothers are more likely to engage in safe child practices, antenatal care, and, you know, also creating awareness about environmental stability. Two of the data sets that we have used for this research is the Demographic and Health Survey, which many of you might be aware, it's nicknamed as DHS. It's a nationally representative data, usually collects data for women in the age group of 15 to 49, and, you know, they collect data on some of the important indicators, population, health, nutrition, HIV, and other things. The other data set that I have used is from the International Institute of Applied System Analysis, or as it's called, EASA. One good thing they have have done as one of their project in the population division is, they have done projections using the back projection models. They have predicted the education attainment level of women as well as men. But for my purpose, I'll be focusing on the education level of women. They have predicted for every 5 age groups, say for example 15 to 19, 20 to 24, for every 5 age groups they have predicted up until 2050, what percentage of women, say for example in Kenya, what percentage of women in that specific age group will have primary education, will have secondary education, will have tertiary education. So keeping that projections in mind and using the current DHS data available, we have tried to see that if these projections mean something, and we are looking at the present literacy level of women in these countries, what are the likelihood that these countries will achieve childhood-related Millennium Development Goals? We selected some of the countries, and as I said, the work is still in progress. We selected the countries depending on what is their reduction in infant mortality rate from 1990 to 2005, and we added some of the countries because the data was available up until 2010 now, and we also measured the differential in mothers' education and infant mortality rate from the DHS data. There are two projection models that EASA uses. One is the GET, or they call GET, is the global education trend. This is what the basis of their model is. And the next one is CER, which is the constant enrollment rate or the current enrollment rate in these countries. And these are the scenarios we are seeing that, you know, if the IMR remains at the present rate, it does not change. Say, for example, a country does not reduce its mortality rate. What is the likelihood that it will achieve the Millennium Development Goal? At what rate and at what time period? The next assumption is that United Nations also predicts or also models by which year or at what rate a specific country will reduce its mortality. So that's the second scenario we considered, that if, say for example, a country's mortality rate is declined as per United Nations prediction, then what is the probability of that country receiving its MDGs? And the last one is, say a country is really progressive, it has a lot of, you know, commitment and good programs, and the infant mortality rate is declining farther than the United Nations prediction, what will happen to the infant mortality and the child mortality rates? I just want to go over, before I show you some of the graphs, that what were the educational criteria. Hereafter I will mention as E1, E2, E3, and E4. These are the, you know, criteria set by EASA when they were predicting the data. E1 is the women who have never been to school or have not received any formal education, or what we in DHS term predict, label it as illiterate. The E2 is those who have uncompleted primary, completed primary, and, you know, uncompleted low secondary. The E3 is more like tertiary education, and E4 is who have completed much higher. These are some of the countries that we are working on right now. We have looked at the differential in education-specific infant mortality and also the MDGs performance. Some of the countries that have caught our eye are the listed in red, but I'll be more focusing on the country on the right-hand side, in the right-hand side box, India, Zimbabwe, and Kenya. And this is just a very quick recap of how these countries are performing. What was their progress in 1990? What was the latest data 2010? And what is the target in 2015? What are they supposed to be achieving by 2015? This is a graph that is prepared on base of what we got the data from EASA's projection. As you can see, from 2000 to 2050, the line that is in the yellow color or the mustard color, the thin line, is the E1. So it shows that by 2050, the proportion of women in India with no education will reduce. The proportion of women with a primary education will also reduce, which is a good news if that projection really is happening in India. And if you look at E3 and E4, that is the secondary and tertiary or much higher education, there are predictions that this will increase. This is what is the proportion. This is the same graph, and I can walk you guys the color code again. What is the predictions for Kenya? The orange line is no education, which is good news that it's increasing. By 2050, it's predicted that very few women in Kenya will have no education if the present trends and the programs continue. The purple line is the primary or little bit of secondary education, which was also reduced, and we do see an increase in tertiary and higher education. this is a graph. If we look at the model that I, the data that I showed you about what's the prediction of India's women education level, and the red line, the straight line, is the target that India has to achieve for infant mortality, if it has to meet it, infant mortality, Millennium Development Goals. And the yellow, green, and the purple lines are, say for example, the yellow line is if the India's infant mortality rate continues to be constant and stable, this is what will happen by the time, what time period will India achieve the Millennium Development Goal. If it remains constant, we see that we are missing out the red line. We are, even by 2050, we might not achieve it. The second is the green line, that if it reduces at the rate at which United Nations is predicting, that we will beat around, like, you know, 2040 or so. And if India reduces its infant mortality rate much faster than United Nations prediction, even then it will be around 2032 or so when we'll be able to meet our infant mortality goal. This is the same graph under different assumption. In interest of time, I'll go a little fast, but I'll be available at the end of the session, or I can give you my contact information if you have any specific questions. This is the graph for the Kenya, and as we can see that Kenya is also having a difficult time meeting its Millennium Development Goals. One of the countries we really wanted to focus why on Kenya was, it is one of the very few countries which had a reverse rate of infant mortality, in the sense for a couple of years the infant mortality rate, instead of reducing, was actually increasing, and it's only in the recent years that it has again started reducing, but not at a much faster rate or an expected rate compared to other African countries. So in conclusion, we can say that these are some of the immediate results that we have, that, you know, India needs much more investment in female education to achieve child health-related Millennium Development Goals. And based on the present scenario, Kenya will not be able to achieve the Millennium Development Goals. And this I'm focusing only on the child health-related ones, even by 2042. So there is a strong linkages between infant between Millennium Development Goals, and we need timely investment in education. There should be priority for high levels of education, sustainable development, and social status. Some of these things are really generalized right now because we have not finished running specific country models. For example, the social status is very applicable to people in countries like India, where there is a lot of hindrance for women to get education, to get, you know, things like that. There was a recent article published last week in one of the states in Haryana where they are trying to declare it as a complete men's state. They are feeling proud that the sex ratio or the sex gap ratio is such an increase that they are going to be very few women left in the state. In countries like that, where there is high mortality, and if there is such a high sex discrimination and good sex gap ratio, this is where there needs to be investment in social status of the population. This is my contact address if anyone has specific questions or want more details about the EASA data or projections. I'll be more than happy to provide that. Thank you so much for your time and attention. It was a pleasure to present here today.